ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैस्तिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10th चैप्टर 63 टाइटल लॉर्ड कृष्णा फाइट्स विद बानासुरा टेक्स्ट नंबर 42। या त्वं विसृज्यते मर्त्या आत्मानं प्रियं ईश्वरं विपर्यया इन्द्रियार्थ अर्थं विषम् अति अमृतम् त्यजान् यस्त्वां विसृजते मर्त्या आत्मनं प्रियमीश्वरम् विपर्येन्द्रियार्थार्थम् विषामत्यामृतं त्यजन् यस्त्वां विसृजते मर्त्या आत्मनं प्रियमीश्वरम् विपर्येतेन्द्रियार्थार्थम् विषमत्यमृतं त्यजन् यस्त्वां विसृजते मर्त्या आत्मनं प्रियमीश्वरम् विपर्येन्द्रियार्थार्थम् विषमत्यमृतं त्यजन् आत्मानं प्रियतीश्वरम्
Maharaji's
Ya, who, Tvam, you, Visrijate, rejects, Martya, mortal man, Atmanam, his true self, Priyam, dear most, Ishwaram, Lord, Viparyaya, which are just the opposite. Indriya artha, of sense objects. Artham, for the sake. Visham, poison. Athi, he eats. Amritam, nectar. Tyajan, avoiding. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. That mortal who rejects you, his true self, dearmost friend and Lord, for the sake of sense objects, whose nature is just the opposite, refuses nectar and instead consumes poison. Purport: the person described above is pitiable because he rejects that which is actually dear, the Lord, and accepts that which is not dear and is ungodly, temporary sense gratification, which leads to suffering and bewilderment. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha, Namahom Vishnupadaya, Krishnaprastaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta, Swamine Tinamine, Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhuya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvise Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare.
That mortal who rejects you, his true self, dear most friend and Lord, for the sake of sense objects, whose nature is just the opposite, refuses nectar and instead consumes poison. So these are the words of Param Vaishnav, Mahadev, Shiva. And here he is, several of his verses in the past and few more verses coming up. The Lord, he has been glorified. By whom? Shiva. Always there is a controversy that Lord Ram worships Shiva. Of course, the Lord worships his pure devotees. He likes to worship them. So he has worship. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, here it is Lord Shiva in several of his verses again and again. And in this verse, it's a very important verse. It can be a turning point in anyone's life. It is said here that he is feeling so sad. Shiva is feeling very sad. He is saying that, see how conditioned souls, they don't know who is their real wisher, who is their friend, who is the one who really cares, who is the one who really loves them. But instead of that, they're accepting someone else or something else. And then thinking that it is what is going to give them happiness, which is. Otherwise, why would anyone? It is giving happiness. But what is the consequence of that? He is saying that it is as good as death. Can you believe that? That means you are committing suicide? You're killing yourself? Here it is said that sense gratification causes death. Now, what type of death? One sense, physically everyone is going to die. Even a Paramahamsa has to leave his body. But here, death. So it's very interesting that the way it is designed, the material creation is designed in such a way that unless there is some type of frustration coming up. So one sense, frustration and dissatisfaction is something very good, because at least there is some opportunity of asking, why this is happening. But the truth is, based on the modes of nature, a person who is in the mode of goodness, he has very clear perspective. He knows what is happiness, what is distress. And the person in the mode of ignorance, he is also very clear what is happiness. Now he is thoroughly convinced about it, that this is what is happiness. But the unfortunate part is the nature of happiness. The mode of ignorance, a person sees everything backwards. He sees something which is sinful, he thinks that is very good. He sees irreligion as religion. He sees something which is very bad, he thinks that is very good. And not only that, he would never even take help because he would rather defend. Of course, this is an example very often given. We may feel that, this is an example maybe for that person. It is so clear, that person, it is our experience, that person who is intoxicated, he is in an intoxicated state, he speaks, I am happy, everything is going on well, fine. But the one who is sober, he can see that he is clothes are torn, he is bleeding, he has got bruise. He is in a miserable position. And he goes and tells him, "Can I help you?" He will defend himself then. "Why are you coming on my way? I am happy." So see the nature. A person who in the mode of ignorance, he is. So it's very difficult to even help that person. You can only pity him. So here this word is said, pitiable. The person described above is pitiable because he rejects that which is actually dear, the Lord, and accepts that which is not dear and is ungodly. That is temporary sense gratification, which leads to suffering and bewilderment. Now they are very clear words used. But does it sound like that? I don't think that when you walk down, you feel people are suffering or people are bewildered. People are happy. Isn't it people working very hard for sense gratification? Do you see them very bewildered? Can you go and tell them that you are going to suffer? So, based on the mode of ignorance, a person who is ignorant is very difficult. Is very difficult. He is convinced. But the one who is at least fortunate is in the mode of passion. But then there is a problem. He is confused because he has that inclination, but same time he has that intelligence. He has heard it, but the taste is there, the inclination is there. So he sees, look down, he sees, people are enjoying, they are happy. But then he also looks up, there are paramahamsas, they are also very happy. So there is a choice, why not go back there? For they are happy. But here it is saying that happiness is miserable. Now to say is very easy, that it is miserable. Unless a person has realized that it is miserable, there is always an inclination, because instant happiness is there. It is so bewildering. So, many times people, when we talk to preach, they say that, you people are very pessimistic. Why do you talk like this? For something good, you have to accept bad. So bad is there, we know, but there is good. Common sense here. What type of happiness is? Prabhupada gives this example. It's just like having sweet rice which is mixed with sand. Sometimes maybe we'll have to experience that. Sweet rice and sand, you put it in your mouth. What type of experience is that? So this is the nature of that happiness. But then become so stubborn and convinced that this is what is happiness. It seems one time in a Pandal program, in front of Prabhupada, a very intellectual man. Intelligent, very educated. So he asked Prabhupada, "Swamiji, what is wrong in becoming a dog? So what? In the consciousness of dog, I'll enjoy like a dog. I will enjoy." So he's curious. Well, so Prabhupada, what will he answer? Same. The mode of ignorance, you are convinced. So he said, "Yes, there's nothing wrong. But we don't think that it is a better type of life. We don't think there is a better type of life." So this is how there is always a degradation. Only thing in the mode of goodness is safe. Passion, there is always a chance. You can go down. But there is always a chance when you come in contact with devotees, you can go up. But the one who is in ignorance, it's very difficult to come up. So this is how we see overall that how Prabhupada has preached in his days, what type of people he was preaching, that itself is, till today, it is very shocking and bewildering even to among saintly societies. Even the great acharyas of our country, when they are honest, they say that how is it possible, But your Shastra says that it is very difficult. How is it possible that even if you cross this ocean, they are outcasted? You see in Madhva Sampradaya, if you have crossed the ocean, you are outcasted because you get contaminated. And here is one Swamiji, forget about he getting contaminated. He is transforming people who are in the mode of ignorance. And here it is said, mode of ignorance, not possible. Many times, of course, his disciples, they ask, Prabhupada, how is this possible? How is it possible? Well, Prabhupada was very modest. That it's my mercy. Of course, not that Prabhupada was speaking out of. But he made them qualified just because of his compassion. Because they are the only people who are coming to him. Just imagine. So unless we receive that type of a compassion, it's very difficult to come out of this. So it is very well known that there is degradation. So in degradation, that means we become very animalistic. But the truth is, the Lord is so kind that even if you have gone to animalistic state, He makes us learn from animals that it is bewildering, it is suffering, don't do that. So you have to learn from animals. So in Bhagavatam there are several animals from whom we learn. But one of several of them, I think this we all heard, but still it's very interesting to hear about that. Now Bhagavad Gita says, just see how it is saying that even if one of our, the mind focuses on one of the senses and sense object, the intelligence is just swayed away. Imagine if you have lost your intelligence, can you decide what to do? You lost, right? So now the analogy given is just like a boat in the middle of the ocean. By forceful wind, how it gets swayed away, this way the intelligence will get. Just even if you fix one, you may say, how is that possible? You know, daily it is happening, you know. I'm still intelligent here. I can still understand. But it's a threat that this is what happens. So to make our understanding more, acharyas have given example, this material existence of birth and death so vast, there is no boundaries, in one sense. And you're right there in the middle. And it is said that this human life, after so many species, is like a boat. Material existence, vast. And in this, you are like a boat. My God, you should know this. Human body is like a boat. And the spiritual master, the one who is guiding, he is like the captain. And all this Vedic knowledge, they are like favorable breeze. That means unless the breeze is favorable, the boat is not going to go in that direction where there is a shore. And what is the captain's job? The captain's job is to see that this boat crosses over and reaches the shore beyond birth and death. Eternal life, real satisfaction, joy, happiness. But then, there are also many other breezes. Is it just a favorable breeze in the middle of the ocean? There are so many other breezes around, which can always make the boat, especially in this age. We talk about technology. Technology, of course, it has its own advantage. But if you notice that, you know, technology is very, if because of technology, like for example, iPad, Facebook, how much opportunity you have to change sense objects. So there is no question about anyone being happy with one. So is it possible that can anyone be focused on one thing? It's very natural that if you get used to it, it will be very difficult to focus on anything. And even to read Srimad Bhagavatam, it will be very difficult because you are used to changing. It gives some type of controllership that instantly I do like this, it changes. So, not favorable breezes are not that, unless you are living a very simple life in some natural surrounding and content, opportunities are many, sense objects are many. It just keeps on. Of course, we don't say that technology is at its own benefit. Yukta Vairagya, we say that we can use it. But there is always a danger that it makes a person's senses, because so many sense objects are easily available, and the nature of the senses is they are looking out for sense object. Immediately it catches. So the more it catches, it's pulling him down, going down to the mode of ignorance. It may sound, it is very easy to speak, but then when you are faced, you can be very convinced that this is not wrong. So there are several animals. That one of them is a moth. We don't see it here. Now moth is one, it's, what is its sense? It wants to see something very beautiful. It is sense. So when it sees light, it goes mad after that light. Now, if you rush towards light, which is in the form of fire, what is the result? You know, you will burn to ashes. But he's so mad after it. Even if there is some obstacle on the way, some glass pane, the moth will go and bang against this. It'll come and bang and bang and bang. Just wants to go and reach that because it's so beautiful. This is the power of that sense. Just see the vision. Of course, we may be very proud of our own vision, you know, of course, but what can we compare with? There are some animals who have such perfect vision. Our vision is nothing. For example, vulture, from miles away, it can see a dead body. So what is our vision? But even with this vision, we are trying to grow up. So moth's example is given. It will find every other way and go. This is how the senses are. Shiva is of course saying that, why is it that, you know, someone is accepting this? Well, then there is what to speak about smell. What is our smell? How much can you smell? The dogs can smell better. That's why when they have to catch the criminal, the clothes of that person, whoever that criminal is, if he has some leftover, you know, the dog smells and it goes. Smelling, 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 and it goes so far distance and catches. So imagine what must be the power of the dog. But then there is this bee. Now this bee, of course, there are several types of bee. This bee, one bee, which, and lotus flower is so fragrant. So it just goes and absorbs it, and it's so absorbed, and when the sun sets, the lotus closes. And this bee is so mesmerized. It can easily come out, but it's so mesmerized that it is suffocated and it dies. So death in one sense, of course, these are all some insects, or we are talking about some animals. But obviously, death here, what it means is when senses are engaged in sense gratification, we don't see death. Do we see death in our life where you are engaged in sense gratification? We don't see that we died, or moth died, the bee died. But I didn't die. Any physical body, any will die. But the whatever little sentiments we have to understand that the Lord is supreme and I am His servant and my job is to serve Him, that gets destroyed. So that is worse than death. So well, there are other animals like deer. A deer also, it just wants to hear, and it's so mesmerized when the hunter plays his instrument, the deer completely gets entrapped and he comes closer and closer and closer and closer, and the hunter catches. What to speak about elephant? Elephant's body is such, you cannot compete with an elephant's strength. It's such a huge body, so strong it is. its whole flesh, but it is so enlivened that it is always craving for some touch sensation. That's how elephants are. It's very eager for some touch, for something to rub. And the hunter, if he has to catch an elephant, is very difficult. How can you catch such a strong elephant? No way by strength. Just the she elephant. And next to the she elephant, he creates a ground which appears like a ground, but it is a big pit. And this he elephant, when he sees the she elephant, he just wants to go and just rub. And soon as he just rubs, the she elephant is trained to just push down. The most interesting thing is about our tongue. The fish who sees that there is a bait and there is food. Now someone intelligent, he knows that there is a hook in that. But then the person who is in the middle, I mean, not here, not there, he knows there is a hook, but I want to. But there is a hook, but I want to. But the hook, but then the mind says something, nothing will happen. You had tried it before. Just goes and... So repeatedly, unless mind and senses are controlled, it's a very big challenge. That again and again and again, the senses and the sense objects, they get trapped. But the result is, it only causes harm in the sense that it loses all this propensity. So this is what Lord Shiva here is... giving us these analogies. I mean, Shiva is saying about that, I am feeling very sad. The mortal who rejects you his true self, dear most friend and Lord, for the sake of sense objects, whose nature is just the opposite. Now what is opposite? What is the opposite? Opposite is, there is one more ocean. This is Bhavasagar. But there is one more ocean. Karuna Sindhu. Now Krishna is Karuna Sindhu. In Sindhu is also ocean. It has also no boundary. It has no boundary. At least material ocean has, you have to cross over. But Karuna Sindhu, bottomless, shoreless, you cannot measure how deep it is. So there is a Karuna, but he has given up that. Just imagine someone who has Karuna Sindhu, he has just touched. That is a Paramahamsa. He is fully absorbed. He has nothing of this world. And he is very pitiable. Like this, what Shiva says, when he sees people are trying very hard, it's very pitiable. I remember once I told one person that, you know, in the early days we were very enthusiastic to preach to everyone. No? And now we know that it doesn't work like that. So I told this person, you know, human life is so precious. He was so offended. He said, please travel with me in the second class compartment of train, then tell me that human life is very precious. We are like animals traveling in a second class local train. It's true. But who is responsible for that? But someone in that state, if he has Karuna Sindhu, suppose he has, even in that state, so there is an option. Someone who is sober, he may ask, why? But someone who is accepted, he will not ask. So this middle part, the one who is in passion, where there is dissatisfaction, please take anyone who is dissatisfied in material life is a great blessing. My God, this way people say, what is this? You know, it's a curse or what? If you are dissatisfied, it's a blessing because there is an option. Now there is an option to know. Someone is happy. And happy is just like, you know, he accepts things which is wrong as something right, and he's happy. Can you tell him that what he is doing is wrong? So dissatisfaction is a sign of advancement. You can say, oh, material life, dissatisfied. So he's sober enough to at least ask. So Karuna Sindhu is the one which is our real nature, but this is another nature. So materialistic society is only talking about this. So it's a big challenge to come out of it, to have that hope and faith, and that this does happen. Because even in this state, neophyte state, struggling, I have problem, I'm not happy. But, even Krishna consciousness is not giving me happiness. But even in that, someone continues. But you see that activities of Krishna consciousness, there is no doubt about it. Those who are practicing for so many years, there is happiness. How many of you have gone for book distribution? You just go and distribute a book and someone accepts it. What is your feeling? What is the feeling when you are in the kirtan dancing? Some happiness. Even if you are not, you don't have that real taste. But in the midst of that, there is happiness. That means there is happiness. It may not be there, sustained. But happiness is there. So this way, acharyas are giving us hopes that you continue. Don't look back. Because this is real happiness. You go back, it's only bewilderment and death. Death means, in this ocean of material existence, so vast, the boat sinks. Imagine an ocean that boat sinks is what? Washed away, I don't know where, gone, finished, out, insignificant. And there's an opportunity to cross. So, idle mind is a devil's workshop. It is a very famous saying in English that, the mind should be always engaged. So, there are a lot of opportunities to keep our mind engaged. Propensity is there. So, use the propensity for that type of activities. Someone asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I like to do something. Prabhupada said, what you like to do? No, Prabhupada, you tell me what you like. No, you tell me what you like to do. So there is so much scope in devotional service. You tell what you want to do. It's not that you do this. No. What you like to do. I like to do this. Do it. You're saved. Is it difficult to do that? What you like to do? And is there any limitation to devotional service? Only this much. Now it's over. Huh? Devotional service khatam. No devotional service. Tum bahut late aa gaya. Is there anything like that? Unlimited. No one ever can say that I want to serve, but kuch hai nahi seva. Aise kaise ho sakta? See, now that is Karuna Sindhu. The Lord is so kind that He is giving opportunity for everyone. So, in this state, today is a very auspicious day. So, in very short, I will try to speak. We all know that today happens to be the disappearance day. Now this is very nice. The Lord, today happens to be the disappearance day of Bhakti Vinod Thakur and also Gadadhar Pandit. Now we celebrate many festivals, Janmashtami, Ram Navami, but we also celebrate their appearance, disappearance day. Why? Because more inspiration comes when we hear about their life. Krishna, of course, he has his own activities he performed, very nice, very, you like to hear more and more. But when we see someone just in the recent past, modern history, living a life, isn't it inspiring? So the Lord always wants to, the same purpose, when the Lord descends here, now he paritranaya sadhuna, yuge yuge, every time he comes, for what purpose? To establish dharma, to protect the pious. To annihilate the demon. But the same purpose he does it through his some personalities. And one of them is Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And of course his connection to Srila Prabhupada. Such special. We can see Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Prabhupada here. So in short it is said that he was born in 1838. He was born a very wealthy family. His great-grandfather was owner of part of Calcutta, imagine. Not just owner of some property, part of Calcutta. There are some 3-4 parts of Calcutta. He's the owner. And his grandfather was a devotee. So he imbibed that and then he went to the best British school, the best education he had. And after that, he's the one first time started
He was more into educational system in Orissa. First time started English medium. First time, imagine, this is 19th century, starting English medium school in Orissa. He's the first. Then of course, after he became a district magistrate, he went to Calcutta. He was moving around with very influential people, top people, but there was one problem. You know, influential people, but they were all Britishers. And what was their understanding? Hinduism means myth, hodgepodge, no sense. Any intelligent man would give up Hinduism and accept Christianity. There was no respect for Vedas. That was a state Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as a district magistrate, he would be moving around. And then he came across Srimad Bhagavatam, and when he read that whole thing, he understood that this is what is real. And he had read Quran, he had read Old Testament, he had New Testament, and then he started presenting the teachings. Very soon, all these Britishers, they started respecting Vedas just because of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So in those days, Navdeep, because they respected him, they made a railroad for him to go to Krishnapur, and he was there in Navdeep. They made a special railway track. Imagine how much. And it is said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's all these judicial decisions, which is documented, and it is never before in the history, it is there, it is still there, document, whatever decision he has taken. This is what he was. Most famous thing is how he used his life, you know that, huh? Especially his senses. Grahastha life means freedom, not like brahmachari life, obviously. You are answerable. No? Here it is solar freedom. You know? I am the master of my house, I can do what I want. But here, imagine district magistrate, such a powerful. He slept only for 3 or 4 hours, and 6 hours he worked. And all the other time, just imagine, all other time what he did. He read hundreds of books, hundreds of poems, correspondence, translation to Bengali, to English, and 10 children. I don't know. Now you may say, very at time for 10. There is not mentioned that how he spent quality time with his family. People say, quality time. And you have 10 children. Now you want to know whether he spent quality time or not? He says that when I enter my house, it is like Vaikuntha. So what type of quality time you want? That means all his children, his wife, they are engaged. And when he enters, so great. So this is Bhaktivinoda. And plus meeting people and correspondence. And he has to take prasad. Right? And then soon he was shifted to Jagannath Puri, and he was the, because he was a magistrate, so he was appointed as the temple superintendent. And imagine what power he had. He saw the pujaris were, you know, very immoral, they had no standards. He brought out the changes there. That was his power. Can we do that in any? Is anyone, as a person comes, magistrate, and he is in temple administration, and he makes all the changes? This was his power, because he had that. And same time, during that time, he would expose all the bogus sadhus. Any bogus sadhus, he would just expose them and put him behind bars. And same time, real sadhus, he would be so humble, he'll invite them, he'll treat them, he'll serve them. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. 1838, he appeared. Then 1896, first time innovative preaching, never before in the history. Of course, he found out the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First time, 1896, he sent books from India to the Western world, to all the libraries, to Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. This was the first innovative type of preaching. And the coincidence is, 1896, Srila Prabhupada appeared. And well, just before that, he was praying. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was praying that everything was a mess. People had no respect for Vedas. So he was praying, please send one of your representatives to the Lord. And it so happened that in Jagannath Puri once, the cart just stopped in front of his house, which is, and this 2-year-old baby, Bimal Prasad, he was named. Because it stopped there, and Bhagavati, his wife, she was the superintendent's wife. So she was allowed to climb up the cart. And she climbed up the cart. A 2 months old baby, and she put it at the feet. And this child started extending his hand, and there was this garland from Jagannath. It slipped and fell on the body of this baby. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he heard this, he said, yes, my prayers are answered. And that is Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And he made 64 mathas. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur had won 3 predictions. He had said that there will be one person coming, and he will travel all over the world. He said that. This was his prediction. And he will preach all over the world. This was... Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was still 1914. So, during those days, he said, there will be one person. You know who it is. Srila Prabhupada, 1896, he appeared. And the second prediction that this will be preached all over the world, all the continents, is Britishers or French people or Germans or the Russians or the Africans. He said this. Then the third prediction was that there will be a day when these people, all the Orientals, the Africans, the Europeans, the Americans, the Russians, the Asians, that is Bengali Vaishnavas, they will all come together. This is his prediction. And they will chant together, raising their hands. And this happened in 1986. This 1986 in Mayapur, this happened. So this was what Prabhupada fulfilled, all the 3 predictions. This was his relationship with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So there are lots of things to speak, but then there will be a few minutes. So today happens to be also Gadadhar Pandit. Now when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, there are many people who came after he appeared, some people came before he appeared. So there was one personality who came after he appeared, just 1 year after he appeared. And he was his very close childhood friend. They were inseparable. Together they grew up, went to the school, but completely different nature. You know how Gadadhar, he was so quiet, so sober, always liked seclusion. He will not react, he will not be mischievous. And Gauranga, Nimai will be completely opposite. But they were thick friends. And then, of course, it's a long thing, but then we went to Gaya, completely changed. Now he's talking about Krishna Prem. So one day he asked, Gadadhar, where is Krishna? I want to see Krishna. If you don't show me, I will not survive. This is Gauranga Mahaprabhu's mood. So Gadadhar said, be patient. Krishna is there in your heart. Oh, he went to just tear apart his heart. So Gadadhar has to really go and console him. Please, don't do that. This is what Sachi Mata noticed. My God, because Gauranga, those days, he will go into some, you know, his mother was worried, what is he doing? Don't understand. After he changed, you know, he started preaching. So then she took assurance from Gadadhar that you will be always with him. Of course, then after that, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he went to Puri, and Gadadhar also followed. He took Kshetra sannyas, means he would never leave Jagannath Puri. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would every day come to hear katha, and they're ecstatic hearing katha from Gadadhar. But then one day, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just chanting, he disappeared. Tota Gopinath deities. So Gadadhar, just in that separation, he aged so fast. He was just 48, same age. Just 1 year younger to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in that sense. In that worries and anxiety and separation, it is a well-known fact. Huh? People who worry a lot. Huh? So this is again something, if you are really content and happy and satisfied, even for one day, scientists have found out that it changes all your biochemistry in your body. all the blood sugar goes down, the cholesterol goes down, the hypertension goes down. What do you have to do? Just be happy. Just be content. You know, don't get into any conflict or anxiety. So this in everything goes. But same time when there is worries, now Gadadhar, of course, this is a transcendental worry, anxiety. He aged so fast that even though he was just 48, he became very old. So he was finding it very difficult to garland Krishna in the standing posture. He was struggling like this. He can't, because his body had become like this. So Krishna felt, my God, my devotee is struggling so hard to put a garland. So what did Krishna do? He sat down. So in the whole world, there is only one deity where Krishna is. He's also playing the flute. So imagine in the whole world there is only one deity where Krishna is squatting and is playing flute, and that is in Jagannath Puri, Sota Gopinath. So when he did that, Gadadhar Pandit could garland him. So this way Gadadhar Pandit's relationship with Gauranga, I mean Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was just like Krishna and Radha, because he was not different from Radharani. The way Krishna performed his pastimes next to the bank of Jamuna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar, they did the same intimate loving pastimes the bank of Ganga, that is in Navadvip, and then later in Puri. So this way, these are very special appearance days. Today is a disappearance day of both. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur left his body on the day of Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance. So it is doubly very, very auspicious. So it is Bhaktivinoda Thakur who is the one who bought some respectability to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, otherwise, or to whatever so-called Hinduism. He is the one, because of his, you know, education and his influence, he brought out so many changes. And Srila Prabhupada carried forward this legacy, and this is what we are here. This is what is our day-to-day activities, our senses, and what is the result of sense gratification. One says very scary, no? Not scary. Because the inclination is so strong that unless there is a higher taste in life, it's very difficult. What is that verse, Prabhu, Bhagavad Gita? Vishaya. Yes, can see Vishaya Nivartat. Niraharasya Deinam Raso Varjam Raso Pyasya Param Drishtva Nivartate. So thank you very much. We need all each other to keep in this network of senses and sense objects and devotional service, to how to keep that mind focused, and don't go in this direction, but go in this direction. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavat Puran ki jai, Gadadhar Pandit Disappearance Day Mahamotsav ki jai, Bhakti Vinod Thakur Disappearance Day ki jai, Samasta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna Prabhu.